How do you feel this morning? Well, let me give you three E's. You ready for this? Email. Anybody emailed lately? Yeah, okay. E-commerce. E-commerce? That's doing your business online? Okay. E-commerce. What about emotions? Anybody had any emotions today? Oh, yeah. Because emotions, I mean, that's what some of you are here today because of emotion. Emotions. Man, it kind of rouses up. It kind of brings everything together. One of the things that raises our emotion is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is likened to the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Y'all got it. Let's go home. But, all right. Well, we'll stick around just for a little bit longer just to talk about that, because we're looking today at transform, how to deal with how you feel. Now, that's major. Every one of us are here today wanting to deal with how we feel. And so when we begin to think about it, emotions. What exactly are emotions? I've got to give you the fancy title, the definition. An emotion is a complex sociological state that involves three distinctive components: a subjective experience, psychological response, a behavioral or expressive response. Did you get that, Joy? Okay, good. I can talk a little bit longer then. All right, so what could it be? Well, 1972 psychologist Paul Ekman said there are six basic emotions: fear, disgust, anger, surprise, happiness, and sadness. Okay, I think we're getting a little bit closer to where we are. Later on in 1999, he added embarrassment, excitement, contempt, shame, pride, satisfaction, and amusement. So now those are emotions. Have we had any of those emotions today? You bring in a visitor for the first time, and all of a sudden, they embarrass you. What can I say? I mean, that emotion just raises to the top. Okay, all right. Well, when you're in a family, that kind of stuff does happen. And we are a part of a family. Well, they went on and said, well, they tried to define emotions as being happiness versus sadness, anger versus fear, trust versus disgust, surprise versus anticipation. Well, emotions. Have you ever thought about God in emotions? Did you know that God is an emotional person? In fact, when I was reading this, all of a sudden, in my quiet time, I read out of Psalm chapter 78. In Psalm 78, verses 49 and 50, the scripture says, He cast on them the fierceness of His anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble. By sending angels of destruction among them, He made a path for His anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but He gave their life over to the plague. And then in Psalm 78, verse 58, it says, for they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their carved images. When God heard this, He was furious and greatly abhorred Israel. Whoa! You know, there's one side of God. He is emotional. He knows how to feel love. Yea, I've loved you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Love. Man, that's awesome. But the same love, He had that emotion, is the same that He became fierce. Did you know that God gets mad? When He sees people lying, He gets angry. When He sees people stealing, He gets angry. When He sees people seeing rape people, He gets angry with those who rape. Listen, God gets angry. So He is an emotional person. And the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because He knows where you are. He wired you the way you are. And so God has emotions, but God's also given you emotions. Where did you get your emotions from? Let me give you a little secret. Emotions are a gift from God. And you got your emotions because God has emotions. Now, emotions are good. Listen, folks, reason why you get so excited about watching Mississippi State win a football game is because your emotions. I mean, we get elated. You know, all of a sudden, emotions come from all different kind of places and different kind of ways. God gives you the ability for emotion so that you can feel toward people, love toward people. Yeah, that's God. Where did it come from? The Scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Whoa! The reason why you have been so wired with emotion is because God created you in His image. That's exciting. And you get to learn about these kind of things on Friday night Bible study groups. You know, when you, all of a sudden when you go to Beans and Cream, you can learn about emotions in special places. God has special moments for you. Well, there's two extremes. And you may fall on one end. There's the emotionalism. Emotionalism means all that matters is how I feel. That's one extreme. Do we have people like that? Sure we do. Emotional. It's kind of like when you come to worship. Man, if you don't feel the tingle, you don't feel your liver quiver, you say, man, we didn't have worship today. That's the emotionalism. You go to the extreme end of it. But then there's the other end up. That's the stoicism. And that's the guy that says, feelings has nothing to do with it. Pleasure and joy in life has nothing to do with feelings. Well, you got these two extremes. You got those who are off the wall and those who don't show emotion. Ah, you know what? You probably married one end or the other. Because on one end of it, man, this guy, man, was so bubbly and wanted to talk about everything. And then at the other end, how's your day? Good. That was the whole conversation. Okay? It's not how you feel about the day, what's going on. And you wonder, what's going on? What's wrong with that person? There's nothing wrong with them. That's the way they're wired. Well, we're going to be dealing with these emotions. And they're on both ends. So, if you want to learn about emotions, one of the things you can do, you can read the book of Psalms. As I read a while ago, every emotion that you can experience is found in the book of the Psalms. I mean, it's from the height to the depth, from life to love to anger. It's all in there because it's kind of a mirror reflection of what was going on in David's day. But boy, you see your face in there all over the place. So Psalms, emotions. Well, what must I learn about managing? Now remember, we're in this study, okay? This 50 days, and we're dealing with emotional health and all kind of different kind of facets. So as we deal with this, let's find out what God says, why I must learn to manage my emotions. Now this may come as a surprise to you. Number one is because my feelings are often unreliable. Are your feelings often unreliable? I've reached the point where I can thank God today He didn't answer some of my prayers. You know what? Some things that I feel, you know, it's in my gut. This has got to be the way to do it. And I did it and it was a mess up. Your feelings many times are unreliable. In fact, Proverbs says in chapter 14 and verse 12, he says, "There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death or destruction." Well, it sounded good. It felt good. But was it good? Well, you've got to manage your emotions. And because that's going to mean whether you're successful and all in life. Secondly, because I don't understand, I don't want to be manipulated. Does anybody in here want to be manipulated? No. If you think somebody's pulling the wool over your head, man, and you know what? There are masters at doing that. I can remember when I was a teenage boy, this college girl, she knocked on the back door of Mama's house. I was with Mama. And she brought this book. It was literally, it was this thick. And it was this tall. And she said, "I'm selling these books, going to college and all. You need to have one of these books." And I said, I tell you, I bought it, and it wasn't based on sound reasoning. Anyhow, there are those who can manipulate the way you feel. I never did read that book, by the way. Okay, that's the truth. Anyhow, confession. All right, it's true. Don't want to be manipulated. That's the reason why millions of dollars are put into advertisement. The way something smells, the color it is, where it's positioned, all of these things are designed for impulse buying. Have you ever bought something on the impulse that you didn't need? Sure you have. Like all of us have. But for that moment. So, what are you saying? We need to understand and manage our emotions because we do not want to be manipulated. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, like an open city with no defenses is the man with no check on his feelings. You really do need to check. Dave Ramsey has a way of doing that many times. If you want to make a big purchase, then sleep on it. And I think that's pretty good. You know, you think about it. Put a check on your emotions before you make that major type of investment. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I read someplace, and I can't remember but they said a sucker's born every 5 minutes. I kind of relate to that. We got to manage our emotions. Number three is because I want to please God. In reality, with my emotions and the way I live, I have a great desire to please God. The scripture says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. That's Romans 8, 6 through 8 with the TEV. So, you can't please God if you're driven by your own human emotion. I've got to bring it under control. And when I bring it under control, then with God, I can find that way that pleases Him. And number four, because I want to succeed in life. You want to succeed in life. Do you? You know, I could call out a couple of names to you right now, and you would pick up on that name just like that. People who became millionaires never finished college. Some of them never went to college, but they knew how to manage their emotions. They were what I call street smart. I think about my dad. My dad was a successful person. He went through eighth grade. He had an eighth grade education. And yet, he was one of the smart. He knew how to manage emotions. That's how many people are successful in life, is when they can not allow others to manipulate them, but they can manage them. In fact, the scripture says, people get lost and die because of their foolishness and lack of self-control. That was Proverbs 5:23. 1 Peter 4:2 says, from now on you must live the rest of your lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. If you live your life by human desires, you're not going to be the success that God wants you to be. All right, so you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to control your mind. Now, how do you do that? How do you manage? Y'all remember Jack Bennett. He used to do it. That was for free. But anyhow, how do you manage? How do you bring it under control? Your emotions. And folks, if you didn't go through it yesterday, you're probably going to go through it today. How do you understand your emotions? How do you handle it? How do you bring it together? Well, many of us have unwanted feelings. You don't want to feel that way. You don't want to experience that, but you're walking in it. And your wife has a way of asking you, what's wrong? What's wrong? Oh, nothing. It's there. It's written all over you. You didn't want it, but what are you going to do about it? Well, let's how to manage unwanted feelings. Number one, name it. Name it. In other words, ask yourself, what am I really feeling? What's really going on? You know, all of a sudden, a man comes home today and he walks through the door and she says, hi, honey. And pow, he goes off like a lit firecracker. she also, all she said was, "Hi, honey." But what she don't realize, he just got fired from his job. Or his best friend. Or, you see, there's a lot of things, unwanted feelings that we have that's behind the scene. We got to check up and say, am I mad at my wife? No, I'm really not. So what feelings do I really have? What are my triggers? What's set me off? What's my hot button? Why did I fire off when I didn't want to fire off the people that I love the most? Sometimes we do. What pushed me to that button? If you're going to manage your feelings, you got to name it. And so many of us, we have trouble doing that. We have trouble naming what the real problem is. Oh, Arnie. Boy, he'll come into class on Sunday morning and he'll fire off something. And then a little bit later on, he'll tell us what he fired off about. What hit his hot button? What triggered that emotion? What was it? Can you name it? Was it fear that drove you? Was it anger? Was it hatred? You know, by the way, we all have these emotions. What happened? Well, if you can name it, then you can do something about it. My real problem was, bam. Okay, you with me? Does that make sense? You got to name it. Scott, can you see that? You got to name it. You got to get down. And sometimes we don't know what it is until we start thinking about it. And then we say, oh yeah, did you know that even smell can set you off? I can go into some settings and I can smell something and it might carry me back to my childhood days. Barbecue chicken. Man, yeah. Or I can walk in and pick up some smells and it carries me where I didn't want to go. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. And it can literally change the way you're thinking. Emotions. Driven. Name it. Then, number two, challenge it. And when you begin to challenge these things, you ask yourself, are things really as bad as I feel they are? That's one we don't like to challenge and say. Are things really as bad as I think they are? Probably not. Well, what about the other end of it? Are things as really as good as I think they are? Probably not either. See, so you have to check up on this. You check up on it, you name it, and then you begin to challenge it. Well, when I start challenging some of these things, it kind of comes inside of me that there's another level of this challenge. When I'm experiencing these things, I need to ask myself, am I yoked up? Now, that makes sense, yoked up. What is yoked up? What yoked up mean? Oh, I love this picture. You with me? Yoke. Y'all know what a yoke is? Yeah, some people say, yo, brother. No, I'm not talking about the yoke. I'm talking about the yoke. That's when you got two animals. Let's say two horses. And they team up together with a yoke. And they're pulling. They can pull this big burden that's behind them. Two horses can pull three times as much as what one horse could. Now, that doesn't make sense, but it's true. Here's what happens. Jesus said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest in my soul. I want to be at peace. I want to have rest in my soul. And all of a sudden, my emotions are spinning. I need to check up. Did I take on his yoke? Or did I ask him to take my yoke? What's the difference? Am I joining up with him? Or did I ask him to come back here where I am and join up with me? If you want to have the peace You join up with His yoke. You see? Because then, you know what? When you join up with His yoke, you know what happens? You're going in the same direction as He's going. That's Jesus. And you're going at the same speed that He's going. And you're going with the strength of His might the way He's going. All of a sudden, that burden that you're pulling, hey, I can handle that. Even when it's vertigo. You know, I can handle that. Secondly, am I in His strength? Now, am I yoked in with Him? Am I in His strength? Psalm 73:26 says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Am I in His strength? Not my strength. Am I in His strength? Big difference. Big difference. So I got, when I'm starting having all these emotional things, am I trying to do this by myself? Am I trying to do it the way I think? Or, oh no, let's team up with Him. And number three is, does He have control of my tongue? Oh boy, I lost it. Does He have control of my tongue? Boy, your tongue gets you in a lot of situations, doesn't it? Boy, I am tarred. T-A-R-D. What's going to bring you out of that? Nothing, I'm just tarred. In other words, it's tired. T-I-R-D, I'm sorry. Down in Stark, Florida, they used to have this big sign that said tarred. Are you tarred? Okay, so therefore it is a legitimate word. It's not English, but it's legitimate, okay? And sometimes we tell ourselves how we feel. Your tongue can get you in a lot of trouble. The plans of the heart belong to God, but the answer to the tongue is from the Lord. Now, am I saying what's going on in my life, or is God putting it in my heart? Yes, I might be physically tired. That's legitimate. But I don't have to allow it to control my emotions when God is with me, even in when I'm tired. I can deal with it. I can channel it. Now, sometimes though, as we think about this, you name it, right? Now you know what it is. You challenge it. Is this really what it is? But sometimes you need to ask a friend. You really need to open up yourself and ask a friend. How many of you have somebody that you've given them permission to say, "Come on, tell me the truth"? Now you think about it, now that's scary. Somebody walks up to tell you the truth, yeah, what do you know? But what if you gave them permission to say this? And so they say to you, "Say, Robert, is this really the way it is?" I didn't try to tell me what to do, did they? But I gave them permission to say, "Is this really the way it is?" And then I start thinking, well, maybe it is or maybe it's not. And then all of a sudden reality comes back. Focus comes back. Give a friend permission. Could be a husband, could be a wife, could be somebody you work with, or could be a friend that lives in another state. With email today, it could be somebody on the other side of the world. Let them have some permission to control. Okay, all right, to challenge you. Proverbs 17:7 says, "Friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble." Friends love through all kinds of weather. You've got some friends, folks. They're going to be with you. Family, that's coming out of the message from Proverbs 17:7. And just kind of as a side note, y'all have taught me something about this. When I look at some of the families in this church, about how families stick together, it amazes me. You invite relatives to come and be a part of you. It amazes me. how much love is in this place. Proverbs is real. I know it's real because I've seen it in this group of people right here. Love. I'm talking about real deal kind of stuff. Well, alright, now let's just say, I want to move on just a minute and say, how do you guard against unwanted feelings? Hey, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to experience that. I know it's going to hit me up when I walk in the business tomorrow morning. I know when I see that person, bam. I know when I look at that stack of paperwork, bam. I know that when my wife wakes up, oh no, I'm not, I won't use that one. Oh, I know all these guys. My wife loves me to the very nth degree. I could tell you some stuff that would make your hair. I'm going to tell you part of it. In the morning, I get up and I go to study. And man, I hear these noises going on. And then all of a sudden, she comes in and she starts massaging my back. Oh man, you talking about a wet noodle. I mean, you know what? There's something about love in those thumbs. I don't know what it is, but it's so special. Now, where we go? Okay, start the day off right. I started it off right. I'm telling you, I did. But how do you start the day? If you're going to avoid unwanted feelings, where you really need to start is with Jesus. You need to start there. The Scripture says, and do not be drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Start your day off, not empty, but full. When you get up in the morning, ask Jesus to fill you with His Holy Spirit. That's what you need to do. And then all of a sudden, if your cup's full in the morning, when you go throughout the day, it's going to be good. It overflows. It overflows. So start the day off right. Listen, when you get the Spirit in all over you, inside of you, you ask Him, this is what's going to happen. You know what's going to come out of that? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Okay, check up right here. How many of y'all, first thing to do, y'all get up in the morning, you turn on the TV. Anybody in here? Y'all are smarter than I thought. Okay, all right. So some people, first thing that they do, they get up in the morning, they turn on the Fox News to get their cup of coffee. And folks, if you get up first thing you do, there you go, you know it's real. You know it's real. The first thing you do before you cut a coffee, all of a sudden you done heard about who. If it bleeds, it leads. You know what? And all of a sudden, your focus of that day is you are in that mode right there before you ever get started. And where does love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness come in? It doesn't come in on Fox Network. Hey, I do look at Fox Network, okay? Anyhow, but the point is, what do you start with? What's your cup full of? You see what I mean? Now, get the real stuff. Get a cup of the fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. It'll change your life. It'll change your attitude. Some people say in the first 7 minutes of the day sets the tone for the rest of the day. Now, I haven't proven that yet. Y'all can help me prove that right or wrong or not. First 7 minutes of the day helps to set the tone of the rest of the day. Now, that's kind of an amazing thought. And I want somebody to say, hey, that's true. Or I want somebody to tell me, no, it doesn't work in my life. But I'd like some feedback, not right now. Y'all think about it. First 7 minutes of the day, how do you start the day? Do you get up in the morning and say, Jesus, fill my cup. Go into the Word. Pray. You go walking? Walking. While you're walking, pray. How do you start your day? Okay, so if you're going to overcome this stuff, start off right. Start the day off right. Secondly, do checkups. Finally, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good of good repute, if there's any excellent or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. 9:30 in the morning. What are you thinking about? What are you dwelling on? 2:30 in the afternoon. Do a checkup. Is it good? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Are you just as mad as an old wet hen because of what somebody did or didn't do? I think we need some checkups throughout the day because all of us have opportunities. Y'all know what an opportunity is. All of us have opportunities. So we need some checkups throughout the day. Thirdly, practice what you've learned. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. These things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things that the God of peace will be with you. In other words, when you get out tomorrow morning, some of you are going to kick out and they're going to say, oh yeah, I do remember what Brother Robert said. Robert said, check the day. Start the day off asking to be filled with the Spirit. I remember that one. But they're going to forget about the checkup. Then they're going, oh yeah, he did say check up. Practice it. It takes weeks for you to learn a new habit. I'll guarantee you can get up maybe for the next 3 days and you can start the day asking to be full of the Spirit and going to the Word and having a quiet time. And then day 4, 5, and 6, you may be back to your old routine. It takes time to make a habit. So practice what you've learned, what you learned. Practice it, okay? Not what he's talking about. I want you to know, what did you learn in the Scripture? Practice it. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Practice watching what you say. You may have the right to say it, but is it going to build up or is it going to tear down? Is it going to make your emotions more like Jesus, or is it going to just make your gut rot out? Number 4, anticipate the strength of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Do you expect God to help you tomorrow? Seriously. Do you really expect God to help you when you have that checkup? If you do, then you will. But if you don't expect Him to do anything about it, you're just going to say, I'm going to do it because He said do it. Nothing's going to happen. Anticipate the strength of the Lord. And then number 5, and we're getting close to the end right here, review the high five. Review the high five. Now, focusing on God more than focus on loving God more than loving your neighbor or loving yourself. Here's the high five. Give me that other one. Okay? Here's the high five. Y'all remember this? Y'all heard Chris say it a while ago. He said, love the Lord thy God with what? All thy soul, mind, and then give me the thumbs up. Love your neighbor. Okay, all right, you're going to check up? How's this going to work? Now, if you want your feelings and all to be captured right there, you got to give us a high five. How you going to run? Okay, next slide. So this is the way these things work. I'm going to love God with all my heart. You remember your heart? That's the control center. Now you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to allow you to control. Here's this control center. It's coming out of my heart. So when I'm checking up, have I given Him all of my heart? Am I pleasing to Him? Am I thinking about Him? Are my thoughts about Him? Your control center, what's going on in your heart? Remember though something else. Your heart is deceitfully wicked, and who can know that? Oh no. So inside of me, there's this war that's going on. Wax on and wax off. There's the flesh. And there's the Spirit. And where's that going on inside of my heart? Who's got control? Spirit? Good. Then your soul. That's the spiritual. Am I communicating with God? That's what the soul does, okay? Communicates with God. It's a combination of your physical and your spiritual, your body and your spirit coming together with personality, with the soul, who you are. Joy. I could take off his feet. He'd still be joy. That's his personality. That's who he is. It's his soul. God makes the soul alive. Okay, all right, here's what's happening now. Okay, so I'm allowing Him to control my heart with my soul, which I communicate with God. I'm checking up right here. Then my mind. Oh, the mental battles. Whoever gets your mind gets what? Going to get you. If I'm going to love God with all my what? My mind. Then I got to say, okay, God, You're part of my decision. You see it happening right here? I'm loving God with my mind more than anything else. If anything else comes in my mind that's more important than God, then that becomes an idol. And God says, you got to get rid of that. Love God. And then, what's the next one? Your strength. Your body. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. God does care about our body. Did y'all know Brother Troy this morning lost 9 pounds last week? Hey, didn't he, brother? That's what he said. He lost 9 pounds. He got scared to death, I tell you. Anyhow, he lost some weight because he needed that. And he says, I feel better today. Preacher, are you on that again? I'm just asking you, your body, have you given it to Jesus Christ? Do you love God more with your body than anything else? Apple pie? Ice cream? Chocolate-covered peanuts? Oh, well. Your body. Where do your feet carry you? Your body. It's important to God. I shall love God with all my heart, the control center. I shall love God with all my soul. That's what I communicate with God. I should love God with all my mind and the mental capacities in which these wars are ranging, the thoughts that you're having. I should love God with all my strength because that's the body that He's given me to bring Him honor and glory. And then I got the checkup. Love my neighbor as myself. You know, it's kind of hard to cuss a man out that you love. It's kind of hard to tear a man down that you love. The Bible says, love your enemies. Oh, no, I don't want that one in there, but it does. You can't do it. He can. Love means show respect. Show some action toward these people. Even though you don't like them, you can love them. You can show respect. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. When you give it a high five and you bring all these things under control, your emotions will come in check. All of this is built around a key word, and that word is love. Love. Love God. Love your neighbor. When you do that, your emotions are going to come in their proper place. Overnight struggle all the time? Yeah, but it starts now. Why do we want to do that? Because y'all know the end is coming real close. Brother Michael right now is with his dad. And we had prayer last night about 10:30 for his dad. And you know, we started praying. We joined hands with the family and all around there. And we started thinking about a place called heaven. When you get your mind and your attitude right, boy, things begin to change. Your emotions. Did you know that we laughed and cried right there in that room where this father's about to go to heaven? Laughing? Yeah. Crying? Yeah. Emotions? Yeah. Why? Because Jesus is right there in the center. Are you ready for the midnight cry? Are you ready that if Jesus were to call you home right now, would you be ready to go? So I've really got to ask you that question. Are you ready for the midnight cry? Let's pray. Lord, right now we know that we're struggling in this world. We're pilgrims, Lord. We're just traveling through. We're on our way to heaven. But we want to have as much heaven on earth because we want to walk with you. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, God, that's going to be heaven in our life. And Lord, I know that right now that we've got a lot of emotions all over the board in this place. And we need to bring it under control. We can't do it, Lord. We need to get in your yoke so that you help us in pulling the burdens. So, Father, what I'm going to ask is for people who do not know you as their Lord and Savior, for them to give their life to you right now. That's what I'm asking for, Lord. And by the way, God, we're here listening. So, Lord, for that person who needs you this moment, may they simply ask you to forgive them. And you come in their life. Yes, Lord, simple. You did the hard work. So now, God, I'm just asking them right now to say, okay, God, you got it. I understand it. I get it, Lord. It's yours. And so, Lord, now that we're going to walk with you, we're going to get ready for the midnight cry. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you ready? Here's what we're going to do. As we think about the midnight cry, prayer altars are going to be open. Some people will need to go there. We don't want these prayer altars. By the way, some of y'all brought some emotions today that y'all need to get a grip on. And God is willing to help you right now. He's waiting. He's waiting on you. So you're getting ready for the midnight cry. That's the upper taker. Not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Getting ready for the midnight cry to come for believers to go in Christ. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready right now. Prayer altar's open. If you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to be sitting down here on the front row down here, okay? I'm just going to be sitting here. Just come sit with me. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Please. I mean, just me and you will talk and there's more than one person. I'll get some of these other preachers around here. You know, they're here. They're ready. What about it? You ready? Prepare. Let's stand together and just enjoy this moment as we sing the midnight cry.
I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call at the midnight cry. We'll be going home when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air, and then those that change at the midnight cry when Jesus comes again. prophecies fulfilling. And signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, "Son, go get your children at the midnight cry. The bride of Christ shall rise when Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children. The dead in Christ shall rise to meet him in the air. And then those that remain at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again. And then those that remain will be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, and at the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus comes again.
Jesus, we're ready. We're ready, Father. We're ready for the midnight cry. And we're going to live each day as though this is it, Lord. This is it. And so now, Father, we're going to leave this place this morning. And we're going to go filled with the Spirit. We're going to go putting a check on our emotions. We're going to go allowing the joy of Jesus to flood our soul. And we're going to go, Lord, believing that next Sunday when we come back here, it's going to be Easter Sunday morning. Oh, Lord, resurrection time. God, I can't wait. So, Lord, we're going to celebrate Jesus Christ all week long in the resurrection. And Father, what I'm asking you to do is to help everybody in here to look around and don't let there be any empty places. It's too important. Lord, celebrating the resurrection. We got some friends that need to celebrate. We got some enemies that need to celebrate. We got some relatives that need to celebrate. We got some work associates that need to celebrate. We got some classmates need to celebrate. Father, prepare us now for the celebration Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.